Satan has a following. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan has groupies. Yes, they follow him. But sometimes I think it's blindly, and sometimes I think that by force of his personality, he drags them along. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another week of broadcasting excellence. Martin Zender here, making sense for a living for 22 years in a row now, or 23, or it's going on 23, or something like that. So Satan drags one-third of the stars of heaven to earth with him when he is cast out. We don't know for sure how or why he was cast out. Well, we know there's a great battle with Michael, and Michael is either the celestial bouncer or the source of the satanic expulsion, or we have a role in it, either in a role of judgment or in a role of displacing Satan as we ascend to our rightful role among the celestials. But listen to this, going back to a more detailed analysis now of the sign that was seen in the heaven. Two signs here in the unveiling, chapter 12. The first one seen in heaven, a woman clothed with a sun. Verse 3, the other sign was viewed in heaven, lo, a great fiery red dragon. And I love it when God says what these things are. And the dragon, of course, is the adversary. But look at this detail. A great fiery red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns. We've talked about that. Seven heads, seven religious authorities on the earth, seven horns would be a military power from one of those heads. And on its head, seven diadems. That is, accomplishment, rule, and worship. And what isn't represented by the diadem? That's my question to you. But here's the kicker right here, verse 4. And its tail, is dragging a third of the stars of heaven and casts them into the earth. Okay, stars here is figurative for beings, is figurative for other evil celestial powers that go along with Satan. But notice the wording here. Its tail is, well, the reason it's figurative is because the dragon, it's not an actual dragon, it's the adversary. So once we know what these figures represent, then we can make good judgments about them. We did the same thing at the opening of the book. The seven stars, right? Stars speak of spirits. And so we have spiritual beings, not dead humans, not evil dead humans, that are hanging around in hell, in the traditional concept of hell, with Satan, and now Satan takes them with him. No, for one thing, let this, among other things, totally abolish and demolish the Christian doctrine on hell, is that Satan is not in some fictitious fiery hell right now. He is in heaven. Nobody is suffering in some fictitious Christian hell right now, because everybody who has died is dead. Yes, Adolf Hitler is just as dead as the Apostle Paul and as my friend Mother Teresa. Yes, I know. Unfortunate for all of them, but not really, because the dead do not know anything, and sometimes that is a real advantage, to not know anything. So who are these stars that are going with them? Oh, but first I want to look at this wording. And its tail is dragging a third of the stars of heaven. What does the tail speak of? This is me talking right now. This is my supposition. No, it's a bad word. Supposition. No, that's a good word. The tail speaks of the last part of the dragon, not the most noble part. It's the most dangerous part, but not the most noble part. So this is the riffraff of satanic dominion. These are the hangers-on. These are the also-rans. These are the beings that got participation trophies as they wreaked their havoc hither and yon, either in celestial or terrestrial spheres. And it's dragging a third of the stars of heaven and cast them into the earth. Dragging. There's a verse, I think it's John 6:44, that says, no one can come to the Father. No one can come to the Son unless the Father drags them. It says draws in the Greek, yes, John 6:44, Jesus speaking, no one can come to the Father unless the Father draws them. But I've read different insights into that word, and it is put forward by some that the word draws ought to be drags. And we know that God does invade us and drags us to himself, gives us faith, invades our world. I had a guy recently tell me, God is a gentleman, and he will not rudely invade your world. Folks, if God didn't invade your world, you would never come to him. It's by the force of his love and his character that we come to him. He draws us inexorably. So these beings are being dragged, a third of them, a third of all the celestial hosts. Now, this is a whole heck of a lot of beings, of celestial beings. Nobody knows how many there are up there. And again, these are not dead humans. These are celestial beings who are immortal and who have never taken human flesh, unless they inhabited it somehow. Back in the old days, you know, those demons that went into the pigs went over the cliff into the sea, but the demons didn't die. Oh, no. Well, they came out of the guy. They came out of the maniac, went into the pigs, and then the pigs went into the sea, but the demons just went to somewhere else. I think they started churches. I think they started Baptist churches. So, and this again is insidious to me. How dare Satan, well, I guess it's not Satan doing it. God is inspiring this, but dragging a third of the stars of heaven. This is a beautiful figure of speech for good beings, like Glinda, the good witch, right? Remember, she arrives in Oz in a bubble. How great is that? Glinda, the good witch, the good messenger, the good being. And then there's the Wicked Witch of the East and the Wicked Witch of the West. We know how they meet their fates. The Wicked Witch of the East has Dorothy's house fall on top of her, and the Wicked Witch of the West melts into the ground, having been doused with water by, who did that? Was it Dorothy or the, okay, I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. I'm getting off the trail here. But there are good and evil stars. Abraham's seed. Abraham has a sand seed and a star seed. The star seed are those of faith, those who believe. And now we're talking about good people. Daniel says that those who are true will shine like the stars of heaven. Is that Daniel? So I'm not saying that stars exclusively speak of spiritual beings, but they certainly do here because they're being cast out of heaven. We know the dead do not know anything, and so the dead are not alive now. These are spiritual beings. But this figure is referred to the sons of God in Job 38:7. This is Job 38:7. When the earth was first founded, quote, the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. I have two thoughts on this. The morning stars shouted together. The morning stars sang together. The sons of God shouted for joy. Why did the morning stars sing, but the sons of God shout? Are we talking about two different companies of beings here? Is it possible that there was not a rebellion in the heaven yet? Now, when this earth is spoken of as founded in Job 38, this is not Genesis 1-2. This is Genesis 1-1. God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth became a chaos and vacant. That explains that there was something went wrong with that first earth. God created it to be inhabited. Isaiah 54:18, 45:18, one of those two. But it became disrupted. Now, because there was undoubtedly a defection among the heavenly hosts. A defection. We don't know how many took part in the defection then, but we know that the defection in the future, when Satan is cast out, takes one-third of those celestial beings. Now, Satan assumes the role of a dragon only after he lays aside his luminous robes of righteousness. Again, he's an angel of light. That's the way he disguises himself now. But as soon as this vision of the woman shows up, that's the counter vision here. The woman who's about to give birth. And again, this is not Mary. This is the 144,000. As soon as that vision happens, then we see Satan as a fiery red dragon. He changes his aspect to suit the times, to suit the occasion. He's always reacting to what God is doing. God is not the reactor. Come on. I've heard people say that God's the one reacting to Satan. There's only one thing wrong with that. It's completely wrong. It's 180 degrees reverse of the truth, which is why Christians say it that way. It's Satan who is constantly trying to imitate God. It's Satan who is constantly changing his techniques, his style, based on what God has done and what Christ has done. So he knows that this woman's about to give birth. He knows that now is coming the time when the 144,000, this is great, this is so cool, why do you see this? Now's the time when the 144,000 are going to be perfected on the earth. Now, after 2,000 years of nothing, at this future time, John sees God is now calling out Israel. They're coming out of the woodwork. People who you would never even think are Israelites. Satan knows this. We're already gone. I want to talk to you about that. We're already gone. And us being gone, I'll talk about it right now. Us being gone is the occasion of Israel being back. Yeah, that's right. No, you didn't mishear that. Our departure from this earth at the snatching away, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is the occasion for God taking up with Israel again. We are on the front burner because we are the body of Christ. Paul explains all this beautifully in Romans 11. And I will go to verse 25 of that chapter. For I am not willing for you to be ignorant of the secret, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering. The complement of the nations, I believe, is the completion of the members of the body of Christ out from the nations. And now, at that point, God is going to take up with Israel again. Paul explains it here in the first verse of chapter 11 of Romans. Does not God thrust away his people because it had looked like that? Paul says, no, may it not be coming to that. He's not thrust away his people. It's temporary. It's temporary. Paul says in verse 11, I'm saying, do they not trip that they should be falling? May it not be coming to that? Their offense is salvation to the nations to provoke them, Israel, to jealousy. So Israel is back on the front burner after we're gone. Satan knows that. He's much more prescient than any of us are. Well, we, I think, are way ahead of the curve, but Christians aren't. And he knows what's coming. He has a sense of what's coming next. And he knows that the figure of this woman, he senses that, I'm not saying he's looking at the figure, but he senses that on earth something has happened. And what has happened is huge. It's that the body of Christ is gone and that now God's Spirit is moving among Israel. He's sealing the 144,000. But Satan has had a resting time really for 2,000 years. This is why. Because while we're on earth, he may vex us personally, but we are no threat to his control of the earth. Satan's a god of the air. He controls the earth now, relatively speaking. Because we're no threat to him because our realm isn't inherent on the earth. But when we leave here, then God takes up with Israel again. Israel is to be in charge of the earth. Satan goes ballistic over that. There's a wrestling match or a judgment or something, but I'm convinced it has to do with us being gone from the earth and God stirring up, God bringing out those Israelites that he will use to rule the earth. And now Satan says, I've lost my heavenly realm because those idiot body of Christ members are up there. Now I'm going to lose my earthly realm because God's moving again among his people, calling them out. We have the 144,000, the vast throng. Ooh, that ticks him off. And so down he goes and he drags some of these evil beings are probably not too anxious. They're probably saying, Satan, Aren't you tired of this now? Can't you figure out by now that everything you do gets counteracted by God? You get checkmated every step of the way. Checkmate constantly. Get a clue. But no. He says, you're coming with me. A third of them, he drags them to the earth to make war with the saints. He ain't making war with us because we're safe in heaven at that time. How do you like them apples?